Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you as always. We put it into your hands. We ask that you do your will with it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not from you, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Lately, we've been looking at the words that define our theology as Christians. While these words have a base secular meaning for many of us, these words are seldom heard outside of church. And it is in that context that these words take on a specific spiritual meaning that each of us should have a fundamental understanding of. Currently, we're looking at the word imputation and the terms that are associated with it in our Christian theology. So far, we've seen that imputation is a judicial term that officially assigns from one to another, to legally credit from one account to another account. We saw that the guilt and punishment of Adam's sin was imputed to us, the doctrine of original sin. Last week, we saw that our guilt and punishment were then imputed to Christ, atonement. This week, we'll look at the strong relationship between atonement and its resulting effect, reconciliation. Webster's defines reconcile as to restore to friendship or to restore to harmony, to settle or to resolve. Last week, I noted that the word atonement is almost exclusively an Old Testament word, and that reconcile is almost exclusively a New Testament word. I told you that in the big picture, atonement is what permits reconciliation. It is the means to an end. Once the offense is cleared, then the relationship can be restored. It's no longer in the way. The law, the Old Testament, proves the guilt and foreshadows the solution. Then grace, through the New Testament, provides payment for the guilt, atonement, and the absence of guilt, the absence of debt, permits reconciliation between the offender and the offended, between us and our God. I'll remind you that the law is a diagnostic tool. It is the MRI of the soul. It cannot fix what is wrong with you. It can only show you that you are sick. Grace offers us the cure, free of charge, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. The law proves to all of us that we're not wrong because we sin, but rather we sin because we are wrong. We are fundamentally flawed and incapable of restoring our damaged relationship with God. We made ourselves enemies with our Creator. We were created as sons, and then we emancipated ourselves from Him. In our natural state, we are all enemies of God. There is no difference, indifference. There are no agnostics. There is no neutral corner in the fight between the flesh and the spirit. There are only goats and sheep, and all of us are born goats. You are an enemy of God till you become a son of God, once again. You are His, or you are another's. If you are another's, then you need to be reconciled with God. There is no middle ground where you can have both. Matthew 12:30. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." James 4:4 said, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters." Nobody. "For he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and wealth or anything else. If you do not love God, you hate him. If he is not your friend, he is your foe. If he is not what you want, then he stands in the way of what you want. This is the harsh reality of our relationship with our Creator. We aren't just estranged from Him. We are in open conflict with Him. When He came to save us and restore our relationship with Him, never forget, we murdered Him. Before this world was created, God knew that free will would cause an open rift in our relationship with Him. But He also knew that without free will, the relationship could never be as strong and as deep as He desired it to be. To get sons, God allowed us to leave and then return of our own free will. Because all of us are prodigal sons. That's not about someone else. That's about you. That parable is each of our parables. Who turns our back on our relationship with our Father. Our oldest brother, the heir of God, intercedes on our behalf by fixing what we've broken, by paying for what we owe our Father. It is what he and the Father knew had to be done before we ever were. They counted the cost of loving you, and then they decided to pay it in full before you ever existed. Isaiah 64:6 says, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like filthy garments, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." Our sins have taken us away from God. Atonement permits us to return, and reconciliation is what happens when we choose to. The Old Testament shows the problem, sin, and the solution, atonement, through the blood of a lamb. The New Testament tells us why. Reconciliation. That's what it's for. God loves us so much and wanted to restore our relationship with him so strongly that he paid for the restoration of our relationship with his own blood. God bought each of us a plane ticket home, good for however far your will has taken you away from him. It doesn't matter where you are. He posted the ticket on the bulletin board of the world on a hilltop outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago for everyone to see. The ticket is still there, waiting for each of us to reach out and to take it. There is no other way back. It makes no difference whether you are 1 mile away from home or 3,000. You need God's grace to get back home. None of us, on our own, can close as much of 1 inch of the distance that sin has put between us and our Father. There is no better neighborhood outside of home. We delude ourselves with false comfort, believing that if we're not as far from home as another, then we can come back on our own merit. There's only one door, and only one walkway leads to it. The path is narrow, and the gate is small. And as Jesus said, all other paths lead to destruction. His Spirit urges us on. It calls us to come home to our Father. All we have to do is truly want to come home to God and reach out and hold on to what he's offered us. Once you truly want to be reconciled with God, when it's what you want more than anything else, you will be. He has made it possible. If you seek him, you will find him. If you search for him with all your heart. Why? Because God has always desired to be reconciled with you. No matter how far from him your pride has taken you. Why? Because he loves you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And that is always the sign of love, giving his only begotten Son. "That whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Luke 12:32 says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly." It gives him joy to give you the kingdom. It makes God happy. The kingdom that you despised and walked away from like Esau did with his birthright. He's been holding it for you, waiting for you to come back. And he made it possible for you to come back through the blood of Jesus Christ. We were atoned for by Christ's blood because we had to be. We cannot be reconciled with God without it. Atonement is what we need for God to get what he wants, reconciliation with you. You need to grasp this one thing, all of this, everything we've talked about, everything I've explained, it's all for you. You are the what of creation. God's love for you is the why. The journey of mankind goes something like this. Volatile perfection. That's how we were created. Then sin and separation. Then atonement. Then reconciliation. And it ends with this for each and everybody here. Every one of us. Inevitable, immutable perfection. That is your destiny. He bought it for you. We know how it began. We know how it ends. But we have to walk in the land in between. The journey away from and then back to God. And understanding it while you're doing it really helps. The journey itself removes the volatility from perfection. The journey removes pride. Life is a mechanism that God uses to remove pride from the perfection He created. It takes the slag from the steel. Our reconciliation with our Father is so complete that it makes us His heirs once again, what we once were. Joint heirs with Christ, who is heir to everything. Joint heirs with Christ, who is heir to everything. The treasure we so capriciously threw away, He paid dearly to buy back for us. Jesus reconciled us completely with God, just as if we'd never left. The only remnants of our journey away from our Father are the wisdom and the character that the experience has taught us through the Holy Spirit's constant guide us and the Word of God. Reconciliation is not a subtle thing. It doesn't make two parties bearable to one another. The change is dynamic, from enemies to friend. There is no lingering distrust or doubt. There is only full and welcome acceptance. There is no "welcome home, son." However, the word "however" doesn't exist. Your Father has seen and felt every tear you've ever shed. He knows that your time away from Him has cost you everything, because it has cost Him everything to bring you back. He wants you beside Him, at peace with Him, and at peace with yourself. How could it be home without it? And God gets what He wants, so rest assured, you will have the peace you so desperately seek. Perhaps our tombstone should read, "Existing in eternal peace, not resting." In the New American Standard, the word "reconcile" is used only in the New Testament. In one form or another, it's used 15 times. And it's translated from 5 different but closely associated Greek words. Reconcile is used only one time in 15 other translations in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 29:4, where it speaks to the Philistines' concerns during the battle they had with David, who was on their side due to Saul trying to kill him. They were concerned that David would, it says, reconcile himself to Saul and change sides during the battle. They were worried that David would stop being their friend and become their enemy. That he would stop being Saul's enemy and become his friend, because that's what reconciliation does. The only option is friend or foe. Reconciliation is the process that takes us from being the one and makes us the other. Romans 5:8-11 says this, "But God demonstrated His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For while we were enemies," in the middle of the battle, just like David, "we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son." While we were His enemies. "Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." This is why we use the word "saved" when talking about our condition. "Not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received the reconciliation." God proved that He loves us, even though we were sinners, by dying for us, His enemies. God reconciled us to Himself through the death of Jesus Christ, who had our sins imputed unto Him so that they would be atoned for, so that we could be reconciled to Him while we were, past tense, His enemies. We exult, it says we revel, that we have now, currently, received reconciliation with God through the gift of atonement offering by Jesus Christ on our behalf. And this gift is meant to be shared. John 15:12-14. "This is My commandment." I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ is talking, and our Lord and Savior says to all of us, "This is what I want." He boiled it down to one thing. You do this, everything else is taken care of. That you love one another, just as I have loved you. Be a lot easier to do all the other things, wouldn't it? Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus tells us what his command to us is. Love each other as he loves us. What he's saying is, you are my friend if you love each other as I love you. Then he tells us how much he loves us. The level of love he expects us to display towards each other. Everyone in here. That we'd be willing to do what he's willing to do. Lay down our lives for them. And that doesn't just mean die. That means swallow your pride for someone. Go out of your way for someone. Give up something for someone. Calling everyone who you know through Jesus Christ a friend. You are so because he made you so. Whatever made you enemies, Christ atoned for and reconciled you through his blood. Then Jesus said the words that we long to hear, you are my friend, if you do what I command. And what did he just say the command was? To love one another. If I love you as Christ loves me, I've been reconciled with you and have gone from being an enemy to a friend. My love for you is the only proof that I have that I've been reconciled to God. It's the only tangible proof. God will not allow the children that he reconciled to himself not be reconciled to each other. The peace of Christ permeates everything and every relationship. What God reconciles is reconciled completely. Peace with him, peace with others, and peace within yourselves. God did not reconcile you to bring you into his house to have peace, to hear his children argue, and to hear them fight. John 15:50. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing. He doesn't consult in him. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What Christ has done for you, do for others. Count all your brothers and sisters as friends. Show them what God has done for you. Show them what he has taught you. Reconcile as Christ reconciled. You know what God is doing in your life and in this world from your perspective. Let others know about the atonement and the reconciliation that you have come to know. And in doing so, be a friend of God and be a friend to them. We who have been made friends to God are not permitted to consider any other an enemy. Comes with the deal. God says that he spoke to Moses as a man would a friend. God called Abraham a friend because of his faith. I want you to realize that because of the reconciling work of Jesus Christ, you stand through his grace on an even par with these great men of God. He calls you what he called them, a friend. He calls you the same. What a friend we have in Jesus. And what friends we have in each other. What a gift from God. Next time, we're going to look at justification. The imputation of Jesus' righteousness unto us, being holy as he is holy. Amen.